baby, right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Friday edition of Before You Bet, Aaron Live, right here on the Covers YouTube and X channels. If you're watching on YouTube, smash that like and that subscribe button right down there. Great big show coming up for you guys today because we got some great big games coming up this weekend, starting with the Portland Trail Blazers versus Charlotte Hornets tonight. But I think we can all agree that the main event of the weekend coming up on Sunday, the NFC and AFC title games. We have spreads, totals, props. I don't think any parlays, but we got a bunch of picks for those games. And in the second half of the show, John Mettler and I will be ripping through our best bets of the night for the NBA. Just three games. I think a couple good-looking betting opportunities. Okay, so if you guys want to participate in the show today, very easy to do so. Hit up that live chat on YouTube, on X. What's your favorite long shot bet of the weekend? Do you think the Commanders can pull off an upset here? Not a lot of people picking the Commanders, including the people who have been on this show this week. What do you like in the NBA here this evening? Teaser Paradise, says JPC4th. Are you teasing the Commanders and the Bills? I think that's a pretty good spot here this weekend. Rip them both through some key numbers. Okay, let's talk a little NFL with our guy, the man who has the sexiest smile in all of sports betting. Jingles, how are you today?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I was listening to your spot today at TSN. And how does it feel to follow Doug Flutie? Like, Doug Flutie's the absolute man. He did a great spot, but I mean, those are big shoes to fill following up on Doug.
Yeah, Doug Flutie is probably one of my favorite football players of all time. He's a very easy guy to get behind. You know, he's small in stature, and he's had a lot of success. Of course, a lot of that in the CFL. Then he had that major breakout season with the Buffalo Bills. I like the way he carries himself, the way he presents himself off the field. Just a tremendous story and a great football career. So, yeah, that was pretty cool. Yeah, to be on the heels of Doug Flutie there on TSN Radio in Toronto here today. Okay, so we got four picks each for the two games, but we got some news to discuss here off the top. A bit of a surprise. We were hearing whispers of this last night. I guess it is official that Pete Carroll, 72, 73 years old, is now the coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. A pretty unique situation. I think a lot of teams would like to bring in a head coach and say, hey, this guy's going to be our head coach for the next 10, 15 years if things go the way they're supposed to go. But this is probably, what, a 3-4-year deal at the absolute max? Kind of like we see these situations where a team might bring an older quarterback over and say, hey, this guy's going to be a bridge quarterback for us until we can get the younger guy in. It's like a bridge coaching situation. So I could see a situation – because nothing but chaos for the Las Vegas Raiders, right? Maybe he comes in, brings some stability, gets some things in order. And maybe the plan would be he has one of these coordinators on his staff. And maybe that guy would be the person who would eventually take the spot of head coach of the Raiders, who are hiring a new head coach like every season and a half. How many head coaches do they already have on the books? They're paying McDaniels. They're paying Antonio Pierce. They need to pay out John Gruden a bunch of money. Now they're paying Pete Carroll. They probably want to stop paying head coaches here. But overall, I don't know. I think it's a positive move for the Raiders. A bit unorthodox, but I think some positivity for an organization that needs some stability. Your thoughts on Carroll to the Raiders?
Yeah, you kind of took it right out of my mouth. The word stability is it. Like, you've just seen chaos within that team and that coaching structure with AP behind it. Was he going to stay? He gets to stay. And then things happen. I mean, what, 4-4 win team that was celebrating like they won the Super Bowl after wins 3 and wins 4. I don't think you're going to get that with Pete Carroll, who JPC4 says in the chat, it's a 3-year deal with a team option for a 4th year. He turns 74 this year. He's already the oldest coach in the NFL. It's going to be interesting to see if he's coaching at 78 years old and the difference. I mean, that's like 4 generations between the people that you're coaching, but I think very few people can pull that off with the respect that Pete Carroll can get what he's had like through his collegiate career and in the NFL. So it'll be interesting to see who he implements in terms of that offense, but it was a kind of a run first team last year without the pieces. So it'll be love to see that team just, but like, they're still missing the personnel, like AOC, like they have a long way to go, Joe.
Hey man, there's not gonna be a quarterback for them in the draft unless they want to trade up for one of these guys. Do what the Lions did. Build up the offensive line, build up the defensive line, and go from there. In a couple of years, maybe you'll be ready to compete. That is a very tough division. But Pete Carroll's built differently. He signed up for a job that's 80 hours a week. Yeah. I'm about half his age. I have trouble working 50 hours a week. And I work out of my basement in my jogging pants most days. So good for Pete Carroll. He is built differently. A tremendous football career continues for him. More news. A bit sketchy. It was like Liam Cohen was sneaking out on his wife last night. So he ends up telling the Jaguars, I think around the midpoint of this week, that he had no interest in the job. He goes back to the Bucs and they give him a boatload of money to stay on as their offensive coordinator. He had a ton of success working with Baker Mayfield this season. Then the Jags fire Trent Baalke, who everyone says is a complete and total bum. Cohen sneaking out, going back to meet with them. They give him a boatload of money, and they basically tell him he can hire whatever GM he wants. So they're giving him a lot of money and a lot of power. This is a guy who's been job jumping, I think, for four straight years. Sometimes it works out with these coordinators. Sometimes it doesn't. But I don't know, man. The Jags are just a team who seems like they can never get it right. There's always excuses in place for Trevor Lawrence. Maybe this is the best offensive mind he'll get a chance to work with. But your thoughts on Cohen to the Jags now?
I don't know. We talked about stability. You need stability within the Raiders. But how about some instability where you have to get rid of your GM just to bring in someone to coach? You've been talking about Trevor Lawrence all year, Joe, and how maybe he isn't that franchise quarterback that everybody thinks he is despite getting paid for it. So when you're in that situation and you don't have a lot of leverage, you've got to make some serious moves, and they've done that. But we'll see if it turns out. I loved everything that Tampa Bay did this year. I mean, the run game they got going. Bucky was great down the stretch. They got McMillan going. They had injuries to Godwin, and they still had that offense going. And Baker was incredible this year. So whether or not that was Cohen pulling all those strings in that situation, you kind of pay for it and see. So we'll just have to see. But I don't love Jacksonville. I mean, that's the problem with Jacksonville. Jacksonville has the pieces compared to the Raiders, right? I think they have a better setup in terms of their offensive key players. So maybe a change in direction offensively could change that team a lot better than what you could get out of the Raiders.
Yeah, Lawrence has the potential to be a top 10 quarterback, so we'll see if he can fulfill that. Back to the Raiders, though, I forgot to throw this at you. Producer Mick and I were discussing this before we went live here today. What do you think they do at quarterback? He threw out, get him back together with Russell Wilson. I think they had a little bit of a light falling out maybe towards the end of their time in Seattle. I was thinking Kirk Cousins maybe, or if they want to spend some money, Sam Darnold. What would your prediction be for a quarterback of the Raiders? Because they can't run it back with O'Connell and Minshew. That was a disaster.
Yeah, you can't get worse. I mean, if one of them was gone, there wasn't much of a change in the spread in terms of what their value was to the points. So you kind of had like the same quarterback. Off the top of my head, sure, Kirk Cousins, you want to pay. Like, you're going to pay. But like, wouldn't you want to kind of start fresh? You have You're at ground zero right now. Let's build up an offensive line. Let's build up a more dangerous pass rush with Max Crosby on the other side. Build up some other things, and then maybe go the route in terms of the draft for a quarterback, because they might be able to get someone late in this draft because there's probably only two quarterbacks going high in this year's draft. But maybe wait for a better draft before you get some pieces in, because you can't just – you see with Caleb Williams. I mean, he has all the pieces. Bad O-line. And things just don't always hit. You can't just plug and play always at quarterback. So Pete Carroll has more experience than anybody coaching. It'd be interesting to see in terms of how they build that personality and what they do with their offensive coordinator. Because Shane Waldron was the Seattle coordinator before he went to Chicago, before he got fired midseason. So I'm sure maybe he's sitting waiting by the phone.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Maybe they will look like, if you look at Bo Nix coming into this year's draft, I think a month out from the draft, not a lot of people even had him going in like the top half of the first round. He ended up going, I think it was 12th overall to the Broncos. So maybe they reach on a Milroe out of Alabama or Dart out of Ole Miss and try to develop him. Don't be surprised to see either of those guys shoot up the draft board, because there are a lot of teams that need a quarterback. Before we get into the picks here really quickly, so Aaron Glenn to the Jets. I told you guys what I thought of Aaron Glenn on Monday. That defense was bad whenever they played anyone good. And a lot of people for Aaron Glenn, they make excuses. Oh, they were decimated by injuries, which is true, but it's not necessarily something that they overcome, that they overcame those injuries. They were really bad because of those injuries. So I think he's a bit overrated. And I think that a lot of that had to do with the fact that he was the defensive coordinator for a team that was really good, that did get carried by the offense. So I won't be surprised if that ends in disaster for the Jets. They're just repeating history. Todd Bowles, first time coach, defensive guy, didn't work out. Saleh, first time coach, defensive guy, didn't work out. Now they're repeating history once again here with Aaron Glenn. The only two spots that remain open are New Orleans. Mike McCarthy has been linked to them. I think that makes sense. And it looks like Brian Schottenheimer, the current offensive coordinator for the Cowboys, it's looking like he might get promoted to head coach. That just looks like another puppet for Jerry Jones. Once again, history repeating itself. Brian Schottenheimer, this is a guy who's had a million jobs. That seems like a little bit of a red flag for me. So, yeah, I don't really buy that. Mike McCarthy, he's a good regular season head coach. That might be all right in New Orleans. You think any thoughts on those matches there, Jingles?
I think when you have an indoor offense like the Saints and you have some pieces, maybe you should go out and get an offensive-minded coach. That's just my two cents. I think the Jets just keep running it back with basically the same guy. And I don't see the difference between Aaron Glenn. And I don't really understand what's going to happen to both Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson. Like, yes, Ben Johnson was the prettiest girl at the dance and the Bears were lucky to get him. I get that. But there's a big difference between coaching and being an offensive coordinator and the duties that come with it. He'll probably play call. I get it. He has no O-line. He went from one of the best O-lines to what we see in Chicago. Things could be very difficult early for Ben Johnson in that offense because that team's expected to compete. And obviously that division is one of the toughest divisions in all of football. There won't be a lot of leeway in terms of what he can get away with. And it's not like we've seen the same song and dance with Chicago before. We've seen it, right? Matt Eberflus, yeah. He's going to save us. He's a great offensive mind. Sure. Okay. But if Ben Johnson, if they start out 1-4 or something, like, would you be surprised if Chicago fell on its face? Would you be surprised if the Jets looked bad defensively this year and were near the bottom of that division? Would you be surprised? No, let's not put too much into the stake of what maybe Dan Campbell and a great personnel of offensive players does to, I don't know, to the name of these coaches.
Yeah, well, we say it all the time. Some coaches are simply meant to be coordinators. So between Ben Johnson and Liam Cohen, like two young, like very bright offensive guys, I bet you one of those guys is going to fail based on, you know, what we see in the NFL. And John Middlecoff didn't use this word on the show on Wednesday. He didn't say overrated, but that might be potential for Ben Johnson. If you take any bright offensive guy and put them as the offensive coordinator for that Lions team, I bet you they would have had success. He said Brian Daboll, Mike McDaniel, Mike McCarthy, these guys who are getting kicked around right now, if they got to run that offense with a great offensive line, all that speed, a decent quarterback, they probably would have had success here as well.
Like Josh McDaniel going back to offensive coordinator. He'll probably be a great offensive coordinator again. Awful head coach. Cliff Kingsbury, another great offensive coordinator now, struggled to go from like-minded kind of where we thought Ben Johnson was in terms of high IQ offense to running a team.
John Mettler, who will be on the show here in about 10 minutes, says, are you surprised that Ben Johnson went to an outdoor team that has bad weather? No, I think in his instance, it was time. Like, he was interviewing for head coach positions last year. He turned down the Commanders. I think he might be regretting that a little bit, but I think it was just time for him to step into a new role, and he viewed this as the best opportunity, probably because of Caleb Williams. You know, he was linked to the Raiders a little bit. Really? You want to go to that division? There's no quarterback of the future in place. So, no, I'm not overly surprised by that. I think he made a pretty good first impression, though. You saw him arrive at the team facility. You see some of these coaches.
How much pressure, right? Well, like, the red carpet out for Ben Johnson. They had 37,000 employees clapping their hands for him when he came out.
Some
people aren't great
with public speaking. Like, remember Sirianni's first press conference with the Eagles? That was a complete and total disaster. If you have not seen that, if you don't remember, go back and watch on YouTube. It was a disaster. And, you know, he's a bit spotty. He's been to a Super Bowl, though. He's in this game on Sunday as well. Okay, let's get into that game here, Jingles. Enough small talk here. Let's get right into the action. Commanders, Eagles, Sunday afternoon in Philadelphia. My best bet, full game spread. We are going with the underdog. Oh, great timing by producer Mick. He's on it today. Commanders, +6. Let's go, baby. For me, this is all about how good are you playing right now. And the Commanders are peaking against top teams and in high-pressure spots, both down the stretch of the regular season and into the playoffs. About a month ago, they dropped 36 points on the Eagles, and they beat them in a game where Jaden Daniels was red hot. He threw 5 touchdowns. He had a great fourth quarter in that game. The next week, they clinch a playoff spot. They go into Tampa Bay. They win a playoff game. They go into Detroit and dominate the team that was the favorite to win the Super Bowl throughout most of the season. I do think the Eagles offense is way too dependent on the big play. And if they don't get that big play, I think they're going to have some trouble scoring here. So 350 yards versus the Rams last week, over half of those yards came on 3 running plays. Pretty big outlier statistic right there. Commanders defense actually pretty good at limiting explosive plays. And question for you guys in the chat. You might disagree with me. I think most people will agree with me, though. Which quarterback do you trust more right now? I'm going with the rookie, Daniels. He's on an elite run. Great in the fourth quarter. Great on fourth downs. Jalen Hurts beat up. He's been beat up for a while. He missed the last few games of the regular season with a concussion. Has a bad knee. He's only thrown for 259 yards in 2 playoff games. He took 7 sacks last week. The Eagles' offensive line isn't in top form here either. So I think at the very least, the Commanders can give them a game and keep this one close. Okay, Jingles, let's go to Prop City. A little-known player that you'll be betting on named Saquon Barkley. What do you got?
This number is just gigantic, 131.5. It's like, is this a college football game? I get it. Sure. But like his 78-yard and 62-yard TD runs last week made up 68% of his yards. And I think a lot of that getting to 20 yards before anybody touched you had a lot to do with the footing that was available at the link with all that snow. I think it really helps the running back. We saw it in the Buffalo-San Francisco game in the snow. Lots of running. It's on the onus of the defense to make the adjustment, and it's a little more difficult with that footing. But, like, what has changed so much? 105 yards in the first round of the playoffs. It went to 116 last week, and now it's 131.5. Yes, I understand that Jalen Hurts is banged up. He is on track to play. But that's really priced in because Jalen Hurts' rushing total last week was 41.5, and now it's down to 29.5. So it looks like Saquon's absorbed those. But when you're matching up defensively, what do you think Washington is going to do? Yes, Bobby Wagner's banged up, and that's a big part of it. But that means they're just going to overload the box even more just to stop Saquon. So if you're Washington and you're saying, okay, selling out to stop the run, we'll let Jalen Hurts beat us for the exact same things that you said, Joe, because, I mean, A.J. Brown has, what, 2 catches so far in the playoffs? Like, show me you can beat me through the air, and I'm going to put all my chips in to stop Saquon. That's the only way Washington's going to play defense.
Yeah, Dan Quinn, a very smart defensive mind, the biggest game of the season. I think they're going to come up with a big game plan to limit the run and make Hurts beat them through the air. Okay, let's keep going with this game. A bit of a weirdo one right here, but sometimes weirdo ones win. We're going to go with the fourth quarter over 13.5 points between the Commanders and the Eagles. So check this out. Check out this excellent pairing here. These teams this season, they rank first and second in fourth quarter scoring. Washington is on a 10-2 fourth quarter overrun. Their road game saw them average 18.2 combined fourth quarter points with their opponent. And look at the 2 matchups between these teams this season. In the fourth quarter, the two games saw them combine for 56 points, 28 in one, 28 in the other. So I think that's a pretty modest number, 13.5. Don't be surprised to see 2 touchdowns, a couple extra points, hopefully, as well. I'm going to take the fourth quarter over 13.5 for this one. And you're going with another random player for your prop bet for this game, Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, using the legs. 54 and a half rushing yards, taking the over. Minus 110. Great projections over at covers from the blitz. 69. So pretty plus EV play there through the projection. And he should see some more negative game script than he's seen so far in the playoffs. You have the poor running game that Washington has. Yes, Robinson was pretty good last week, but that was versus Detroit. That Philly D-line is absolutely terrifying and could flush him out of the pocket. And then the injury to right guard Sam Cosmi. That is a big deal. So this was already a quarterback who was number two in football in designed runs and number three in designed rushing yards. So we might be able to add a few more scrambles to Jaden Daniels, who has been playing pretty neutral game script football. And this could be a game where he could be trailing a little more so far. I like that he's where the value lies in there. If they're getting this number from, let's say, an average, it was after the rib injury, it was like a 5-game stretch. It kind of ended in the Philadelphia game where he only ran for 17 yards, where his rushing attempts, his rushing yards, his rushing volume was just so scaled back because they were protecting him. Well, the training wheels are off now, and you're going to see a lot more running from Jaden Daniels, who has, what, 29 carries in the playoffs? He's yet to go over this number, but I'd rather bet on volume than I would on output.
Let's go, Commanders. Okay, on to the main event. The Buffalo Bills trying to get over the hump against the Kansas City Chiefs. Cannot wait for this one. If it's not broke, do not fix it. I'm going right back to the well on the Bills team total. 23.5. We are on the over. And this one, been a popular bet this season. It will remain a popular one, potentially, right through the Super Bowl. But the Bills are an NFL best, 14-5 to the over on their team total this season. Average of 30.7 points per game. Now, they scored 24 or more points in 12 straight games where Josh Allen has played the full game. I say that because he only took one snap in that Week 18 game. So, no problem scoring for this team. More scoring patterns. They've scored at least 24 points in 6 of their last 7 games against the Chiefs. They've reached at least 24 points in 8 of their last 9 playoff games. Now we get into some stats. It might surprise you to hear. The Kansas City Chiefs defense, not very good on third down. They're 29th in opponent third down conversion percentage this season. The Bills, one of the best third down offenses in the NFL. So I think we're going to see a lot of third down conversions to get them into the red zone, where they have the second best red zone offense in the NFL. Let's go, Buffalo, over 23.5. Okay, you like a Buffalo running back, James Cook. What do you like him to do in this game?
I'm already on his over 54. Jake Booty's on the 60 plus, and I'm on the TD. So I'm putting it together. I'm going to get this 240. I think you can play this to about plus 210. His snap share is about 55%, but that's only keeping him fresh. He's still getting about 70% of the running back opportunities. He had 7, 6, and 6 red zone carries over the last 3 games. Yes, Ray Davis took one from him, but Josh Allen isn't really running that much in the red zone outside of maybe the 1 or 2 yard line. So James Cook's going to get some work. I think he's one of the more underrated guys. I think he led the league in touchdowns. And this is also a Buffalo offense that has become so dependent on the run, and that's where their strength is. That's why they're not turning over the ball. 42% pass rate so far in the playoffs. There's ladder potential. He had 120 rush yards just 2 games ago. Mixon went 18 for 88 for a TD versus his defense. When we talk about, oh, pretty dangerous defenses running against, defense is very noisy, right? He went over this number versus a good Baltimore defense last week too. 23 carries, 120 rushing yards versus Denver, 16 for 67 versus Baltimore. He's going to get 17 to 20 carries in this game. And I think that's too low. He's going to get the red zone carries too. So if you like Buffalo, this is a good one to back. If you're a little scared to bet the money line.
Let's go. Okay. I'm sounding like a broken record here. Another repeat of a pick I made last week. We're going to take Kelsey to go over his receiving yard total, sitting there at 67.5. yards. So big players make big plays and big games. And I think Kelsey's one of the best big game players in NFL history. The stats back it up. So he's gone over this number in 14 straight playoff games for an average of 99.1 yards. And people, oh, Joe, this is a square play. Don't the sports books know about this? Yes, of course they know about it, but I don't think they're reacting enough. This number was set at 53 last week. He more than doubled it. He had 117 against the Texans, 8 targets in that game. And I do think he's going to get a lot of targets in this one. Once again, he is in the circle of trust as Mahomes' number one weapon come playoff time. And the Bills have not been good against tight ends in recent weeks. We saw Likely and Mark Andrews combined for 134 against them last week. Tyler Conklin had 8 catches against them in week 17. Laporta went for 111. Let's go, Kelsey. Taylor Swift in attendance cheering for him as he goes over 67.5 receiving yards. Jingles, you have a team scoring prop that you like. Break this one down.
And I just jumped on it. I saw it and I'm like, no, that's okay. It's a 48.5 point total. It's a 1.5 point spread. Why am I getting both teams to score here at basically it's minus 115 aside at a coin flip? But I'm going to have to do it. Like, show me in the spot where this game's going to finish 20-17. These games just don't do that. KC's pass rate's through the roof. So they make up for Buffalo's running in terms of pace of play and play volume. It's 6-1 to the over in the last 7 meetings. It's gone over in all of the playoff meetings. And this is just two of the most competent offenses in football. Like, you're not going to get a red zone turnover with both of these guys. You just need 2 touchdowns from each team and 2 field goals. That seems like the smallest amount of offense you're going to get from Allen and Mahomes.
Yeah.
And we've seen the total go up. So maybe it's just a case of the total's gone up and the secondary and tertiary markets like these just haven't caught up. Because I think this in the Baltimore game was like minus 160. I think it should be kind of in the same vein.
It's going to be so sad if the Bills lose a close game and you see Mahomes and Allen do that handshake and Allen walking off the field all sad. I hope that's not the case. I will pick my bets first, though, and I hope that my bets hit. One more that I do like for this game, a sneaky little one. This is actually my favorite prop bet of the weekend. We don't have a graphic done for this one. I did a little write-up on Twitter for this. Samaje Perine, his longest reception, over 7.5 yards. A weird bet, but hear me out. This hit in 13 straight games to close out the regular season. He doesn't get a whole lot of opportunities, but he makes the most of them. They usually drop one play for him a game where he can rip off a first down catch for them. He had 4 targets against the Bills. And the Bills, this is a spot I've been targeting all season. The Bills are the worst team in the NFL at defending running backs in the pass game. They've allowed the most receiving yards to running backs and the second most catches. So if you're looking for something sneaky, Perine, longest reception. You might bet it and you might think, where's he at? He's not on the field. Then it will just come out of nowhere. He'll have a 9-yard reception for us and he will go over. Some people are asking, why wouldn't you just take the over on his total receiving yards? There is a risk that he has a reception. Maybe he has like a 10-yard reception or something like that. And then they throw him another one in the fourth quarter. It's behind the line of scrimmage. He gets tackled, loses 4 yards, and you could get burned on that quite badly. So that's kind of my logic for taking a longest reception over his receiving yard total. Okay, Jingle. So that's it. You're going to be right back with us on Monday, though. We're going to have a Super Bowl matchup to discuss. We'll do our typical winners and losers of the weekend. Maybe we'll have some more coaching news to get into. If the Cowboys can finally make a decision, the Saints got to do something here as well. So great time to be a sports bettor. Looking forward to, we'll get some early leans for the Super Bowl because you know there's going to be lines and props up for everything. It used to be that you would have to wait like a week for these to come out. Now they're there for you. It's absolutely beautiful. So we'll get the best of some of these numbers, hopefully. Thanks for joining, buddy. Best of luck with all the bets. We will catch you on Monday.
Appreciate it. And if you're looking for something to negate what could be an awful game Sunday night, just because we've been crying for penalties, Joe, right? And wouldn't it just be on the NFL's brand and just to be like, flag, flag, flag. Is this what you wanted? Flag, flag. Right? I wouldn't be surprised if you saw something like that. It's a tough market to find, but team total penalties is something we'll see for the Super Bowl for sure. But okay. Maybe something opens up there because, I don't know, over 7.5 for each team wouldn't be bad.
Ooh, very interesting. All right, buddy. Enjoy the games. We'll see you Monday.
Later.
All right, let's talk a little NBA. I've been ice cold all week. Got to be honest with you guys. We will not sugarcoat that. John, those Indiana Pacers didn't show up in France for us there yesterday. We thought people were kind of leaning into the Wemby playing at home narrative a little bit too much. And the Spurs ended up kicking the shit out of the Pacers. But what I want to start with today is the Lakers kicking the shit out of the Boston Celtics. Where are we at here? So the Lakers won last night, 117-96. They outscored the Celtics quite easily in three of the four quarters. And as a result of that, I took a look at the standings. The Lakers fifth in the West right now. I think it would be significant for them if they can avoid the play-in round, which they've been a part of, I think, each of the past two seasons. I see them as high as 23-1 to win the Western Conference. Ninth best odds in the West, behind the Houston Rockets at some sports books. Do you give them a shot to go on a run here, John?
I feel like it's probably priced pretty fairly. I know it looks like you're saying the ninth best odds and they're fifth in the standing, so it looks better than it probably is. I think it really depends on what move they make next. Is there one more trade? They compare their 2029 first round pick with their 2031. I think that's the two that they have available to trade. So if they move those two first round picks, I feel like they have to make one more run. Is that not, that's probably what LeBron wants. It's what LeBron wants. It's what AD wants. They've been kind of been talking about it. I guess the question is just which way do they go? You've kind of heard them say they need another score. And we've talked about this before, like a Zach LaVine, where it just takes pressure off of, you know, even like an easy game against the Wizards or something like that, where he can just go out and cook and they don't have to lean on LeBron James so much. Then you've also heard AD saying he'd feel more comfortable playing the four versus the five. So they've been rumored for a lot of centers. I know Nikola Vucevic is kind of the one that's really out there in the trade market as well with the Bulls. I'm kind of just curious to see. I wouldn't jump in on futures on them right now. I'm curious to see what that next move is. I really like the first move for Dorian Finney-Smith. I want to see what that second move is before I'd be interested. When it comes to the Pacific Division, I think we've made this clear a couple times, like recently, I like the Clippers. So I wouldn't bet the Lakers in that market either. I like the Clippers in that one.
Yeah, the Clips bounced back for me last night. Big win over the Wizards and a cover, which I was very happy to see because I needed a win. I need one tonight. So only three games in the NBA. You have two props. I have one spread. Both of your props come from the same game, the Grizzlies-Pelicans in Memphis. So let's start there. Jaren Jackson, what do you like for him tonight?
Yeah, when Jaren Jackson Jr. over 22.5 points, minus 115, this was still on the board. It's probably going to move, not necessarily because of Jaren Jackson Jr., but they just said John Morant is questionable with an illness and he wasn't present at shoot-around. So obviously that will have a ricochet into Jaren Jackson Jr. here. There still is this 22.5, minus 115 sitting out there. You just look at this matchup for the Pelicans or against the Pelicans. There's no rim protection. Like that's been the Pelicans' weak point the entire year. So like in terms of Jaren Jackson Jr., like who individually is guarding Jaren Jackson Jr.? I honestly don't have an answer. It would be Herb Jones, but Herb Jones is injured. He's not playing. And then the other thing I like is I thought, you know, like John Morant, Desmond Bane, they're gonna be able to create and get in the lane and create shots for their bigs. And John Morant potentially is out. It's a little less scary when you're looking at the Grizzlies, because Scottie Pippen Jr., who would get more minutes if Morant is out, he's someone who also creates, but he's also very pass first. So for Jackson's prop, not only would there be more usage, there's probably honestly more assists coming his way if Pippen is the replacement and he'll be able to create against the Pelicans. So 22.5, I just felt like it is the front end of a back-to-back. It is a 12-point spread, but you had a good edge on this with Jackson playing 30 minutes. That's not a big ass. It's not like we need 37 or something. So like the over here.
Okay. I have one NBA pick tonight. It comes from the game of the weekend across all sports. Of course, I'm talking about the Blazers in Charlotte to take on the Hornets. And for some reason, the Blazers are a 5-point underdog, and I disagree with that. So I will take the Blazers to take care of business and at least cover the spread. Are you scared of the back-to-back? Don't be scared of the back-to-back because Portland, this young team has been really good in this spot. 5-1-1 ATS in the second game of back-to-backs. This includes wins versus both the Timberwolves and the Rockets in an outright win over the Bulls as well. Charlotte, as a favorite, it has not gone very well for them this season. They are 0-4 against the spread. Go back to last season, they're 1-9 against the spread in their last 10 games as a favorite. And you dig into the stats here, neither team very impressive anywheres, but if you shrink the sample size down, nice defensive stretch here for Portland. It coincides with a three-game win streak. They're number one in defensive rating over these last three games. Hornets, one of the worst offenses in the NBA. A little beat up right now. And the Blazers, as a small dog, they've covered in four of their last five as a dog of 5 points or less. So give me Portland. plus five in Charlotte. And last pick of the week here, John, CJ McCollum. What are we looking at?
Yeah, same game. So CJ McCollum, I went under 23 and a half points here for McCollum. So when I was looking at this one, again, same game, Grizzlies, Pelicans, the Pelicans are also front end of a back-to-back. And you look at McCollum's prop here, 23 and a half. He's had two big games. It's kind of pushed this total up. He usually sits about 19 and a half. He was 21 and a half. Now it's up to 23 and a half because he's gone over the last two games. And I think he had like 35 plus his last outing. I'm just questioning the minutes he might see. So like this had an edge to the under with him playing 35 minutes. That's higher than his season average already. You're front end of a back-to-back. You're a 12-point dog against the Grizzlies. And tomorrow you're playing the Hornets, which is a very winnable game for the Pelicans, not necessarily against the Grizzlies based on their current roster. It's not really that winnable. So I just wonder, he's also like, I mean, McCollum's an older player and stuff, and they kind of treat him like that. So I feel like his minutes could be closer to that 30. And the fact that you have an edge on the under with him 35, which is higher than his average, I like that. He's torched them twice, which probably concerns people. He's had 32, 30.
Yeah,
they do have Jalen Wells. There's been a couple of games when I've watched the Grizzlies and someone's going off against them. Jalen Wells goes into that like high school guard him, face guard him, not even watching what else is happening. I feel like McCollum might get that treatment from Jalen Wells tonight right off the bat because of those previous two games. And they might just force DeJounte Murray to shoot more because that's kind of, if Murray hits shots, he hits shots. But he has the shoulder injury, so I feel like that's the guy you'd want to shoot and McCollum's the guy you want to take away. So I'm going to go with the under here.
Very nice. Okay. Very busy time in the sports calendar coming up. But first, let's recap these best bets here. Commanders plus six. Commanders, Eagles, fourth quarter. It's a weird one. Number one to number two in fourth quarter scoring the season over 13 and a half. Bills team total over 23 and a half. Kelsey over 67 and a half receiving yards. That's what I like. Jingles gave out Barkley under 131 and a half rushing yards. I think that number's an overreaction. Might be. Jaden Daniels over 54 and a half rush yards. James Cook, 60 or more rush yards, plus a touchdown, plus 240. And Bills and Chiefs both to score 20 points, minus 115 odds. In the NBA tonight, we're going Blazers, plus five. Jackson Jr. over 22 and a half. CJ McCollum under 23 and a half. Producer Mick does it again. That was not an easy assignment, that recap graphic. Three separate slides. He nailed it, baby. Let's go.
Like, absolutely. Five for five on the week. Five for five on the week, pretty sure.
I think there was a mix-up earlier in the week, potentially. Or was that at the tail end of last week?
I think it was tail end last week because we congratulated him for having a good Monday. So I feel like he went five for five.
There we go. Okay, so a very busy time coming up in the sports world. Coming Monday, we will be preparing for a little game called the Super Bowl. Cannot wait for that. We're going to have a lot of great coverage for the game. We're going to have a lot of betting coverage for the game next week. And then the week leading up to the game, myself and a couple other guys on the coverage crew are actually headed down to New Orleans. We're going to have a bunch of content on the ground there. Very excited for that. It should be an absolute blast, but we're not going to leave you NBA fans hanging. John, of course, is going to be on the show every day next week. He's going to have a lot of stuff during the week leading up to Super Bowl. Then the week after the Super Bowl, it's actually NBA All-Star Weekend. Here's my advice for the people. I used to be one of these guys who would complain every single time the All-Star game comes around, whether it's a Pro Bowl and the NFL, the NHL changing the format up, the NBA, the dunk competition. There's no point in complaining. Embrace the idea that these all-star games are for kids. That's pretty much what it is. As an adult, you shouldn't be going too crazy. The baseball one's still pretty good. But we're going to be providing some pretty well-rounded coverage, I think, for All-Star Weekend, the three-point and the dunk competition and the game itself. I believe, are they changing the format for the all-star game in the NBA, John?
Yeah, it's going to be four teams. So the NBA all-stars are going to be split into three teams. And yeah. Then the winning of the Rising Stars will be the fourth team. So that's how the eight people per team. So they've split it up here and stuff. We've got three guys in the dunk contest, Andre Jackson, Matisse Buzelis, and I know Stephon Castle have all committed. So
Zion's not in it. Damn it.
Those guys who are in it, they can jump, all three of them. So I have to go see, I'm going to go find some film. It's like, you know, when you're at the Super Bowl, you're watching like the singers sing a national anthem from like 10 years ago to try to see where they are in the YouTube. I'm definitely going to be going to see I imagine some of them competed like in a high school slam dunk contest or something. We'll see what they got.
Yeah, that is the one knock, the dunk competition. You know, it used to be, I remember the year Vince Carter, Tracy McGrady, and Steve Francis were all in a dunk competition against each other. And now, yeah, you know, it's a lot of pressure, I suppose, on LeBron and the Zions and whatnot. But it's good when the best players compete. And instead of bringing up the guy from the G League, McCullough?
Mac McClung.
Yeah, like, yeah. He's not even in the NBA. Come on. Okay, no more complaining about NBA All-Star Weekend. We will be embracing it here at Covers. So let's leave it at that for today. Thank you to Jingles and John, a.k.a. William, for joining us here today. Thank you to producer Mick. Put together a great show. Great week as well. Great week with the recap graphics. Thank you to our sponsor, BetMGM. Make sure you check them out for all your sports betting needs. And thank you to all the great viewers for tuning in, especially those of you who join us live and chime in on the live chat. Enjoy the games this weekend. Best of luck with your bets, and we will see you guys again on Monday. Let's go, Commanders and Blazers. Woo!